You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
September day, out in the yard, your wife and children working on some stage in L.A. Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out in pride for the red, white, and blue, the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer? Look at yourself and what really matters. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I've talked to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you love her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened, close your eyes and not go to sleep? Did you notice the sunset, first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night to think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some stranger, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. September day.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep car.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back. I hadn't even left yet. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is, what is it? It's the 17th of October, and it's a Wednesday. And I don't know, did you guys miss me? It's already been a whole, like, 2 days since I was here. So, still waiting on word from Amy to see if she's wanting to do a show. We're not sure when it's going to happen. It will most likely happen in the hour immediately preceding mine. We'll see. Not sure which day it's going to be yet, but we will find out. I'm gonna make her answer by Friday, or forget it, one or the other. So we'll see. All right, let's see. Let me move this back up here, and let me turn this noise off of this thing here. There we go. That's enough of that. Okay, let's move on. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. And I think what we'll do in no particular order, this first deal here, you know, one of the things that we cover in all of our shooting classes, rifle, well, I don't talk about it much in the shotgun class, but in all the rifle classes, all the handgun classes, any of the classes that require shooting other than the shotgun class, we talk about what happens if hot brass goes down your shirt or in your, you know, behind your glasses or whatever. Any place where there's bare skin. We don't allow tank tops, spaghetti straps, open-toed shoes, things like that, where we try to, try to cut down as much as we can on the possibility of hot brass touching skin. And as we found out, as many classes as we've done and attended and everything else, and the hundreds of thousands of rounds that we've seen fired downrange, it is impossible to stop all of them. But you can cut down on the possibility. The reason for that is not just so you get burned, you know, so you don't get burned. That's of little consequence. I mean, it hurts for a little while, but so what? The problem with hot brass is it causes people to dance and do funny things with loaded guns in their hand while they're standing on the firing line.
You know, before we go any farther with this, I think I better dash over here to the chat room and see if anybody can hear me besides me. There we go. Yakima Glock, thank you, Tebow, 5x5. Mountain Shooter, Amy hasn't worked with the horses for, heck, it's been, oh, probably close to a year that she hasn't been working with the horses over there. She's got her own horse that I'm trying to get her to get rid of, but other than that, she's not doing the horse thing anymore.
Anyway, back to the brass thing. Inexperienced people, sometimes even experienced people, but we try to plant this seed before it happens. There's no guarantee that they're going to heed the advice when it actually happens to them. But if a piece of brass goes down your shirt or something, you should instinctively and immediately get your finger off the trigger and make sure that gun is pointed downrange. And the first thing to do after you get your finger off the trigger is to grab that piece of brass and hold it out away from your skin for a minute. Don't be fishing around, patting it, and jumping and trying to get it out. The more you move it, the more times you're going to get burned. All you got to do is grab a hold of it and hold it for 5 seconds and turn it loose again, and everything will be fine. We'll get it out when we get a chance. It's not a life or death matter if you don't wave that loaded gun around. Well, there's a story here. I can laugh because nobody was hurt, but boy, I'll tell you what, the potential was high. This guy had a double negligent discharge. Apparently, I'll tell you what, he scared the hell out of a bunch of people. He was shooting on an indoor range, and the piece of brass apparently went up and over his head and went down the back of his sweatshirt. About the time that happened, the gun went off once, and he, with the handgun in his hand and the other hand, both hands reached behind him to try to get a hold of this piece of brass, and when he did, that was the stupidest thing I ever saw, and when he did, the gun fired again. Well, he pulled the trigger again. The gun didn't fire, but he pulled the trigger and it fired. Luckily, it fired into the floor. Nobody got hurt. Everybody had to go home and change their shorts. But other than that, it was definitely a learning experience. You know, I saw a little video the other day where a guy was on inside range, indoor range, him and his buddy, and apparently they wanted to get selfies while they were in the range shooting. Okay, that's not the end of the world. I mean, if you want to be, this selfie thing drives me nuts. It's absolutely absurd how many people have pointless selfies on Facebook. It drives me nuts. Well, these guys wanted to do it, so he's holding the gun, and he takes a picture of himself a couple of times, and then he points the gun at his buddy's head to get a picture, thinking it was cute. Now, I'm going to tell you what, the range officer there, or whatever they call him, was on his toes. He was very alert, and instantly of course, if the guy would have pulled the trigger, it killed him anyway, because it still took him, you know, less than a second. He was right there. He was probably 6 feet away, and he sprung into action immediately when that gun was not pointed in a safe direction. However, there was plenty of time to blow that guy's head off if he'd have just pulled the trigger. Anyway, he grabbed a hold of that, laid the gun down on the counter, cleared everything, and then picked the gun up and escorted those two guys off the range. So that was, I got to say, great reflexes, great paying attention there for that range officer. So, anyway, let's go back here and look and see. We got a lot of stuff. You know, there's a deal here. Well, I'll probably play it after the bottom of the hour. I'm gonna have to switch over to my other format here, and I want to play a little thing that the sheriff said. Boy, it's great little soundbite, and I just can't do it justice in any manner except actually playing it. Now, this is. I hope that. Hold on just a second here. I got something here I need to check. Okay, no problem. This Antifa and other similar leftists are ramping up their game. If you think this election day is just going to go by like any other election day without any problems, I think you will be sadly mistaken. They're already picking up quite a bit. There's, I told you the other day about them attacking Republican offices and stuff all around the country. Well, they've stepped it up just a little bit in Texas, in Austin. There's a group there called the Red Guards of Austin, the Antifa bunch or something just like them. The Red Guards of Austin have placed severed pig heads, in front of campaign offices. Now, I'm not sure how many different ones, but they're putting these pig's heads up there. It says the group is calling for revolutionary violence rather than participation in the elections. The Red Guards okay, they've got these pictures here. If I can make that big enough, I can read the sign. Let's back up here. All right, it says, Cruz and O'Rourke are imperialist pigs. Election, no. Revolution, yes. Another one says, O'Rourke is an imperialist pig. Elections, no. Revolution, yes. So they have, now where they got the pig's head, I don't know. I don't know if they went and, bought some pigs, already owned some pigs, stole some pigs and cut the heads off, or if they got the heads from the local butcher, or, what happened. But these are still bleeding, fresh pig heads that they put on with these signs on them. I'd say that's definitely reason for concern. Is it going to happen in Sholo, Arizona? Probably not. Is it going to happen in Plantation, Florida? Probably not. But I know from experience here last year, no, earlier this year, early in the summer, that there are a few Antifa types here in Sholo. I think that the copycat phenomenon here is going to manifest itself in large fashion this year. I mean, this election day. Um,
I don't know, to think that nothing is going to happen, I think, is just completely idiotic. I just don't get it at all. Trying to keep up with what's going on in the chat room here. Yeah, NM Glock, you're right about that. All right, let's see. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, they're calling themselves the Red Guard. Anyway,
I don't know how I can encourage people to ramp up their security just a little bit. Check your radios, check your weapons, you know, check your stuff and make sure it's good. Is it going to happen to one of us? You know, probably not. But I think that this is going to be, I think there's going to be little pockets all over the country on Election Day. I don't even know if they'll wait till all the results are in, but when the results are in, win, lose, or draw, it doesn't make any difference who wins and who loses. I think something is going to happen this year. And it will be twice as bad in 2 years at the next presidential election. So you can take that for what it's worth. See what happens here. All right, let's see. What else we got? We can leave that right there. All right. We can suspend all of that for right now. Let's move on here to the next one. There was a, have I got time? Yeah, let's do this one just before the break. Down in Florida, Tebow probably heard about this one. This is a pretty new. By the way, speaking of, I don't know why I said speaking of Florida, but, you know, Chris Ann Hall lives in Florida. She's hardly ever there. She travels a lot. She will be, for those of you out west here, if you're interested, she will be in St. George, Utah this coming Saturday from 2 to 8 p.m. She'll be there with a, I think the presentation is private rights, private property rights. I don't remember what the presentation is. You can go to chrisannhall.com, look at her schedule, look at her calendar and see which one it is. It doesn't make any difference which one it is, folks. I'm telling you, I've been to, I don't know how many of her, her events, and each one of them is absolutely amazing. They're awesome. She is a great teacher. And if you, you know, St. George, if it's not too far for you to drive, I would highly recommend that you try to make it over there. So let's get back to Florida. This happened here. There was a Florida city commissioner. Let's see. Lakeland, as a matter of fact. Lakeland City Commissioner Michael Dunn. There was a guy in there that was, he was homeless, he was a vet, and he tried to steal a hatchet. Now, what he needed the hatchet for, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe to chop some firewood in his homeless place. You know, I don't know what was going on. Maybe he wanted to go rob a store with it. Maybe he just wanted a hatchet. Considering this was a Army surplus, military surplus place, that hatchet was either a, you know, $2.98 Hong Kong knockoff, or it was a $12 decent little hatchet of some kind. Either one, definitely not nearly enough cause to take someone's life. This commissioner who owns this store or runs it or something, he suspected this guy was shoplifting. The guy that was the homeless vet, he's a felon on top of that. He can't have a gun. So that could be why he was trying to get the hatchet. But 50 years old, staying in a nearby homeless shelter, tried to leave the store with a hatchet down in his pants. And the guy tried to stop him. He pulled his gun. Now, this right there, he pulled the gun while the guy was still walking away. He escalated this himself. It was absolutely wrong what he did. In Florida, well, let's go a little bit farther before I say that. He got a hold of the guy's shoulder and his shirt, and the guy tried to push out the door. And he pulled his shirt, tried to pull him around. And at that point, you couldn't really see. He apparently, not sure, can't really see it in the video, but they think he may have had the hatchet in his right hand. The right hand is kind of behind the door as the guy is turning to face the guy with the gun. It is possible at that point that the store owner could have feared for his life if the guy was holding the right hand, hold the hatchet in his right hand, kind of above his head in a position that he could have swung it. That doesn't change the fact that he didn't need to grab a hold of this guy's shirt and try to pull him back over a freaking $10 hatchet. All he needed to do was get whatever information he could get and call the cops. Absolutely no reason to pull a gun. You pull a gun on somebody when they're, number one, when they're threatening you. I am not opposed to pulling a gun if they are trying to make off with the whole cash register or with tens of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry or something like that. Maybe that's a different story. When it could affect your life for the amount of money that's been taken, I think that's a little bit different story. But for a $10 hatchet, I don't really think so. The guy wound up shooting the guy twice, and it took him to hospital. He died on the way, I think, so they're trying to figure out if they need to charge this guy or not. I cannot see his right hand behind the door in that video. If it's holding the hatchet, arguably it was justified at that point. But the guy still escalated it by pulling on his shirt and trying to stop him over a damn little hatchet. There was that. No point was this guy's life in danger, except possibly after the guy was already out the door and he couldn't see his right hand. Now, if he did feel threatened at that point, Florida law is pretty clear on, Castle Doctrine, or both maybe, I don't remember. But one or the other of them allows you to use lethal force if someone is even in your business, motel room, campsite, home, office, something like that, and you don't even necessarily have to feel threatened. It's pretty wide open. Chances are, I think that this guy may skate on this because of that law. But I strongly disagree with the way that it was handled, and the guy should not have been shot. It's a shame that a homeless vet gets killed for trying to steal a hatchet. I know, okay, you shouldn't have tried to steal a hatchet, but nevertheless, a hatchet is not something to lose your life over if you're not threatening somebody with it. Okay, there is, let's do that. And I'm going to take a little short break, and I'll be back in a minute. We'll be right back.
criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, and whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time, I answered what I'd done. Those are the days I forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. I'm burning hell before I sell my rights away.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country or whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Alrighty, we are back. I am back. There's no we here. Unless you want to count this cat. I think y'all know already, Amy found a cat. Called me one day and asked me, "Gee, what do you think about having a cat in the house?" Well, I don't think about having a cat in the house. It's been taboo, absolutely forbidden, forever. But I said, well, in a weak moment, I said, go ahead. And this cat has really taken to me for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway. You know, to add to what I said earlier, before we get started here, too, I'm going to dash over here to the chat room and see what's going early. Yeah, NM Glock, there may be some wisdom to that. He says on the chat room, for those of you not on the chat room, he says vote early to avoid the violence. There may be something to that. There may be some, especially in your larger metropolitan areas. There may be some problems at the polls. I don't doubt that a bit. So to go along with this, you know who Tucker Carlson is, right? He's been on Fox News and pretty conservative. He's a good speaker. And one of the things he says that in their efforts to fight, you know, in their hate for Trump, their efforts to fight Trump, the Democrats have become what they said they hated, and now they have become that. But he said also that he can't go to restaurants anymore. This guy, just for saying the things that he says on the news, he says there is only one restaurant in the D.C. area, and he did not name it, that he can go to eat because they, you know, people holler at him and throw F-bombs at him and stuff while he's trying to eat, and he says it just kind of wrecks your meal and ruins the mood there. So he's got the one place that he goes to where he says you don't feel threatened and don't have to someone screaming F you at him at the restaurant all the time. So I don't know. It's at the end of this interview, this I think is kind of significant considering where it's coming from. And where he was at when he said it, he said, "I can't wait for this revolution to end so I can go back out to dinner." That's interesting.
All right, let's see. Let me click on the right deal here and get back over. There we go.
All right, let's move right along. We got things to do, and it's already 20 minutes till here. I'll have to read that later. That's a pretty good story. All right, let me bring this. There we go. Okay, we talked about that, and we talked about that, and we talked about that. All right.
I'm going to let you listen to this. I told you I had a little clip I wanted you to hear from a sheriff here. And if I can find it, where'd it go? I thought I had it pulled up here. Well, grape. All right, there it is. All right, this is about 6.5 minutes long. Coming from a sheriff in Colorado. And I think it's awesome. Now, whether he is 100% like he says he is or not, you know, is yet to be seen. But I really, really like what this guy says. So let me switch over here, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
First, my name's Terry Makita. I'm the sheriff of El Paso County. I'll try to be brief, although that's not my nature. But first and foremost, let me thank every one of you that came out or made the journey from your community to be here and stand with us in support of what we believe is right. I'm not going to stand here and pretend to be some scholar of the Constitution.
Okay, it apparently it's not working. I'm going to try this a different way, and let's see how well you guys can hear it. Stand by here, and let's try it this way. Let me turn this up. I'm going to go over here to the chat room. You guys, we got a little bit of delay here, so let me know if you can hear this all right. All right, here we go. Pay attention.
First, my name's Terry Makita. I'm the sheriff of El Paso County. I'll try to be brief, although that's not my nature. But first and foremost, let me thank every one of you that came out or made the journey from your community to be here and stand with us in support of what we believe is right. I'm not going to stand here and pretend to be some scholar of the Constitution. I'm not going to proclaim to be some expert on whether a gun bill will work or won't work. But it's what I can say is, like the people up here, we have committed a career to interpreting the Constitution every day, not just the Second Amendment, not just the First, but the Fourth, the Fifth, the Eighth, the 14th, all of them. And I would think that would bring some validity when we look at this and say, this isn't about keeping criminals behind bars or interfering with someone who wishes to do harm. This is about criminalizing law-abiding citizens. These laws will have no deterrent effect whatsoever on the tragedy that occurred in Aurora. It had no effect on the tragedy that occurred in my own county just 2 weeks ago, or the pizza delivery individual up in Denver. This is an infringement on our rights as law-abiding citizens, and I would be remiss if I did not say, the Constitution and the government did not grant us the Second Amendment. We had those rights long before this country was even formed as humans. The Constitution is what protected those rights from government intrusion. Now, I'm going to stand here, and I'm sorry to say this, But our governor has lied to the citizens of this state, and I have no problem telling him that directly. And I'll tell you why. Because in July, he stood up and said to national news media that gun control would most likely not have prevented the incident in the Aurora Theater. He said that individuals that are that ill and want to carry out that kind of devastation will probably not follow any restrictions in place. But as what he said was, we should have this debate. That was a lie. And that is what upset me on March 4th, because that debate did not take place. It was ramrodded through. There was no articulation of the benefits of it. There was no debate about people like me and the people up here who are expected to identify this as being illegal as of July 1st.
He's showing him a 30-round magazine right now.
Here, they can tell me which of these magazines, if we assume today's July 15th, is an illegal magazine. I have almost a century of experience. Can you guys look at these and tell me? Well, I'll probably break the law if it's July 15th. Look at it and tell me. I just did a transfer. That law targets law-abiding citizens. It criminalizes people that intend to follow the law. And it doesn't just stop with the magazine ban. A cop cannot look at this and say whether a crime has occurred. It's an after-the-fact issue. The crime has occurred. Now we have probable cause to question. Now we have probable cause to interrogate. That's where this law is overreaching. The background check. The governor lied to the people. He said, I talked to folks all over this state. The eastern plains, the western slope, down south, up north. And he said, they believe in universal backgrounds. It's what he failed to tell them and be honest with them about. Is we have universal background checks. We have a gun show loophole. Is what he's targeting is my ability to turn to a person I went through the police academy with and say, Jim, I would assume I surround myself with law-abiding citizens. If you want to borrow this magazine, I trust you. And no, in my heart, Jim is not going to go out and shoot up a theater or a school or a place of employment. He's going to use it responsibly and give it back to me. That's what this law targets. That is what is so wrong. And I think the best depiction I can come up with, an example, is what a gross, dismal failure gun control has been in Chicago. Go to the computer, Google Chicago, get into their crime stats, look at the rate of homicides, look at the rate of clearance. It tells me something. The citizens don't have confidence in the police to protect them, and that's why they can't solve their crimes. They got a 30% clearance rate on homicides. I don't think there's a sheriff in this state that would accept that, let alone has ever experienced that pathetic a performance. But I've seen it around the world, and the reason it exists is because citizens do not believe government can protect them. Therefore, they don't step out and identify those that are committing homicides and murders in their communities. You will not hear President Obama stand up today and say, Chicago is a great example of where these kind of measures work, because he's embarrassed by it. He knows it's a failure. Every study out of the Department of Justice has shown these restrictions are a failure. This is about taking a world full of predators, a world full of wolves, and creating more sheep to defeat the wolves. Now, I stole that line from a very intelligent individual, because I'm not that smart. But I think it says exactly what's happening. Let's create more sheep to try to control the predator that takes our sheep. And it warms my heart to look out right here, right now, and see enough people that say, I will not be a sheep. I will not be silent. And when we're done here today, let's go to the Capitol and let's let those legislators know we will not be silenced, we're not going to go away, and we will not be the sheep they want us to be, and we will not cede more of our personal responsibilities to a government that in the last 2 weeks has shown its failure to protect our people.
All right, there you go. You guys are saying 5x5. I guess you could hear that okay. So let me ask you this question.
unrelated to what we just listened to. And by the way, I hope you agree that that was a great little speech by this sheriff. I wish that was my sheriff. Our sheriff is not too bad, but he ain't that good.
So let me ask you a question. If I were to do an interview by phone, if we did it the same way we just did that just now, would it be acceptable for you to listen to? Was the sound good enough and clear enough that we could do a phone interview that way? Because I have a guy, well known, a lot of you know who it is, he's been on the show with me before, is ready to do an interview, and I've been trying to figure out how to get this done. DeTinker has offered me some advice, and I haven't had time to mess with it yet, but I'd like to know that if worse comes to worse, if I have to do it this way, would you guys get the most out of the speech? Did you have to, was the sound clear enough to do that? So okay, Mountain Shooter chimed in there, good phone interview volume. All right, if it was clear enough, then we may get this guy on the air here pretty quick. I'm not going to tell you who it is until I set a date with him. All right, thanks, guys. Nan, NM Glock, Mountain Shooter. Okay, sounds good. If that's what we have to do, then that's what we have to do. Got one more thing I want to throw out here before quitting time. I just saw yet another, this is the third or fourth time, where some biological male claiming to be a transgender woman. I mean, this is a homely little critter. I don't know why it wants to be a woman, but it was a failure, whatever it did. But this critter has won the 2018 UCI Masters Track Cycling World Championship in Los Angeles over the weekend. This is the severalth time that I've seen an it win. You know, there was one of them that won a women's wrestling championship. Well, what do you expect? You know, there may be a few women that can take a man. There's not a lot. The man is just built more. Even if you want to pretend like you're a woman and go tell everybody you're a woman and grow you some boobs and make everybody believe you are, you're still a man. I don't care how you want to slice it, you're a man. And you ought not to be competing against women in these types of events. It's just wrong, and you're an ass for doing it. It's unethical. It's unfair. And you're an idiot. I just don't know what else to say. It's just the way it is. And I don't agree. The problem with this world is that not enough people ask me my opinion before they do this. And that's the truth. All right. We still got a couple of minutes here. I need to start easing towards the door here pretty quick. We've got a little private class coming up here. The private class is private in content also, so I'm not gonna share what it's all about here, but that will be coming up here on, it's a 5-day class, and it's coming up here on, yeah, I think it starts on the 1st of, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, either starts on the, I think it's the 1st of November or the 31st of October, one or the other. No, it's bound to be on the 1st of November. Anyway, whatever it is. And we got some other CCW classes and some other stuff coming up around here. People are starting to, I guess this comes in kind of in cycles. You know, we get people who are not interested, can't sell a class to save your life, and then pretty soon you have people come to you and say, hey, when are you going to do this again? I want to get in on the next one. but nobody seems to be interested when you put it in the paper and put it on the radio and put flyers out everywhere. You don't hear anything, and then, I don't know. It's been that way forever, though. It's always not anything new. I'm sure that those of you that teach different things probably experience some of the same stuff. But all right. Well, be that as it may, I think I'm going to ease on towards the door here and got to get up early. Got some, got a lot of stuff to do tomorrow, so I got to get started there with the get up when the chickens do. I don't know if I'm going to get up when the chickens do or not. They get up pretty cotton thick and early. Especially in the summertime when it starts getting light out there at, 4:30, 5 o'clock. And you can tell when the chickens get up. Okay, I'm babbling, so I'm out of here. We'll talk to you guys Friday for Liberty Lounge. You're not going to want to miss this Liberty Lounge. This is going to be an extraordinarily good Liberty Lounge this Friday. Don't miss it. Get your friends. Go to your Facebook accounts. Go to your email list. Talk to your friends at your work and at the barbershop and the hair salon and the beer joint and wherever you go, and get them in on this Liberty Lounge. You're going to love this Friday. And with that, I'm gone. Bye-bye.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.